Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
This is about something that lights your fire when nothing else will.
This is the Mark Divine Show. This show, we're going to discover and dive in and discuss what makes the world's most inspirational, compassionate, and resilient leaders so courageous.
Transform the nature and functioning of our own brain for the better.
Go put your virtues in action. Be the best version of yourself.
Life is a practice. Day by day, get wiser and stronger and grow.
How do you understand enough about your own mind and psychology and emotions, and how you develop a reflective awareness practice to actually get in the driver's seat of your own mind?
We go in-depth with people from all walks of life. Martial arts grandmasters, meditative monks, CEOs, military leaders, stoic philosophers, proud survivors, and more. Every episode turns our guest experience into actionable insights that you can learn from to lead a life filled with compassion and courage.
I started putting all these little tools in my pocket, started to reflect a lot and meditate.
There has to be a balance between movement and rest.
It all starts with us. We cultivate these qualities in ourselves to become a beacon of light for others in the world. Please join us on the journey. The Mark Divine Show. Hoo-yah.
Today's episode brought to you by J.B. Weld. Available, by the way, at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more, and proudly made in the USA. Well, what are we talking about in this show, Matt?
We're getting into some Lamas stuff, what you've been doing on spending your weekends digging into...
digging into a beer.
Digging into more than one beer. And Michael Fassbender is going to be running Lamas.
Yeah, we got some updates on the Ford Lightning truck and the digs on Tesla. First, there's Geico.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Of course. Who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Get it on, and welcome to CarCast, Matt Kroll. That's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea.
How
over
you doing?
There. Talking cars, man.
Talking cars.
Well, let's see. We got the turbos rebuilt for the 935.
Yeah, they look good.
Sent them out to Florida. It's always Florida. They rebuilt them. They put in a newer generation impeller and propeller.
Yeah, I went over there and I was talking to Sean, and I saw, you know, the cast ones, which are heavy.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, look at the new fancy billet ones, a little bit different design, lighter weight, should spool up a little faster. But it's funny, on these racing cars, you don't really run an air filter. Now, your car is a little better than a lot of the others because up on the fender, you have the wire mesh kind of grill, and that's the intake.
Mm-hmm.
But when you even just look at a little bit of the debris, if you looked at the impellers, the leading edges of those are just like rough teeth. It's just,
yeah,
they're all jacked up. Little debris, little pebbles, anything that gets in.
Yeah, they get chewed up.
But the billet impeller should also be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't go as quickly like that. So yeah, it should be. Should be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Sean was also saying the design of the new propellers and impellers, instead of having, I don't know, 12 fins, they sort of broke them up. I don't know if 12 is the right number, but they did smaller fins like in between. So it was all this attempt to get it to spool up faster.
Yeah, it was a slightly different design on it. It's just a more efficient impeller. Those are definitely some of the things that we've seen improvements in turbo technology over the years.
Yeah, and speaking of improvements in turbo technology, they were also saying that if you wanted to go with a newer, smaller design, it would be better. But that car, the turbos sort of hang out the bottom of it. It's mm-hmm. kind of part of the original look,
yeah.
you know. So what they did is they just took the original casings, I guess, and maybe they machined it and put in a new bearing, a new seal, and that kind of stuff. But yeah. anyway, they just got updated.
I am curious if they machine the housings at all, like you said, when they do another bearing, do they put in like even a same size bearing? Is it a bigger bearing? Is it a ceramic bearing? I'm sure there was a few different options that Sean went over them with.
Yeah.
And there may be just some limitations on the housing that they can only go so far.
Yeah, but either way, they got sent out, they got rebuilt, everything got sort of cleaned up and power washed. I'm saying power washed, but, you know, hot tanked. I guess we used to say hot tanked. I don't know. Everything got sort of cleaned up and re-put back on. So it's all sort of cleaned up now.
You know, and it gave Sean an opportunity to, like, remove some stuff from the engine, right, and get up underneath it and double check things, fittings, wire connections, clean up some stuff, oil leaks, like, you know, tighten some things down, like just kind of give it a good run through because mm-hmm. it's got a few miles, a couple races on it since the last time it was looked at.
Yeah, they said, I can't remember if we went over this before, but I think we did the leak down on it, and the leak down was consistent, but everything was kind of low,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was at about 100 per cylinder, and they'd like it up around 120 per cylinder, but the kind of consensus was it'll be down on power, but it'll be good enough to just go out and run a yeah. time or two, and then you can break it down.
I mean, it'll probably feel a little stronger than before. We just hope that the rebuilt turbos and the more efficiency, and, you know, now it doesn't expose any other potential weak links.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now the leak down test was good. If one cylinder was worse than the others, then we'd probably have to address that. And as you said, you probably end up rebuilding it at some point, but to get it out there this year, it's probably good enough.
Yes. So we're working on that. I'm confounded because my life is really could be distilled down to this kind of exchange, which is there's the velocity event that's, I don't know, September,
October.
And that's the C production 2.5 Trans Am. That's the get the different drummer 510 out there.
Yeah.
And then there's the Rolex Historics, which is 100 years of Le Mans, I guess they're celebrating.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's get the 935 out there. And so we got to sign it up. And a couple of people that normally were involved with the sign-ups aren't here anymore. And that would be Matt and Megan. So now it's time to re-sign up those cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep saying to young Vito, who's now the guy in charge of it, just go find the old paperwork on both cars and resubmit it, because the paperwork is, and Vito is like, you ran a Porsche last time, but I'm like, it's a different Porsche.
Yeah.
This is a different, but you said a 911. No, this is a 935. And then you get into this. So you want to run the 935 at the velocity? No, 935 is at they're both at Laguna Seca. One's at the Rolex, and then the 510 is the 510 a Porsche? And I'm like, all we got to do is get the old paperwork and just resubmit it, because the paperwork is like, how much does the car weigh? You know, what size are the tires?
Right.
And
or at it's least like transfer over some of the information. Slightly different applications, but yeah.
Yes, but why are we recalculating both cars? It's somewhere. It's on someone's computer. It's been submitted. All the tire sizes, all the weights, all the fuel capacity, the engine displacement, the year the car was built. It's all somewhere.
Yeah.
It's all written somewhere. Just go find it and then just put it on the new application. And then you get into, you know, Sean's checking the tire sizes. And it's like, I don't want Sean checking the tire. It's all written down somewhere.
Yeah.
It's just on someone's computer. They have it over, someone has it over at the Rolex Historics, or it's on our computer at the other shop, or like, go find the email or find the old paperwork. And then it's like, then you go over to the other shop and Jose's weighing the tires from the 510. It's like, what is going on? It's like, well, we got to get this. We got to get the official particulars down. And I'm like, it's all somewhere. Where is it? But yeah. No one really knows where it is, but it's also an element of no one's really down with the concept. Like,
well, so I went over there with Vito and we talked to Adam and we were like, do we have the paperwork? And he found some stuff. But there was a little bit of confusion because the 935 hasn't run Rolex in a while. So I don't even really remember who submitted that originally. That could have been Rob, could have been last time, mm-hmm. maybe Fondelier. So that was a little bit harder to find. And then the different drummer 510 was at a different event.
Yes.
And slightly different application. So I think there was some stuff about that car that we had, but not all of the details that was required. Mm. You know, so there's like a – I think he got – I don't think it's – what I'm saying is I don't think he dug up zero information. I think he got 35% of the information, 40% of the information. So it's not completely ignored. I think there was a little bit of data transfer, but
– All right.
I couldn't say for sure. I didn't get the paperwork. It was just Adam passed it along to Vito, and I think he got some of it.
All right. Well,
but he got it done, right?
I don't know.
I think he did. You're registered for Velocity. I saw that email. I think for Rolex as well. Now, luckily for us, Ardell, who we've worked with many times before, she's great. She's handling the registration for both events.
Yeah, and
so she's like, I'll help you out with both events. Let's just
we have a little bit of an in that it's the 100th anniversary of Le Mans, and that car's got good Le Mans history. So they're going to want it there.
And it's going to be in display in like the museum paddock thing as well, the tent, you know.
Yeah. I have a challenge for you. But not a challenge, you know, I'm not questioning your masculinity or anything like that, but kind of a weird thing. And I don't know if Ben's working the computer.
Yeah,
or
he's
not.
In there. He's in there.
Yeah. Okay. So I find myself with Sean, and you go back and you look at these old pictures, and you can find a lot of pictures of that car. Actually, the place to find a lot of old pictures is eBay, because they sell a lot of old pictures. Like eBay has 10 pictures of that car at Watkins Glen for like the 6 hours of Watkins Glen, you know, right after it came back from Le Mans. I think it had Ray Hall driving and Newman driving a 6 hour sort of, you know, endurance race. And it came in, I think, same as Le Mans. Actually, I think it came in first in its class and second overall and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, and so you see these old pictures and you go, oh, the marker lights for Le Mans mm-hmm. were still on the side of the door, and or this decal was over here and then that decal was over there. The thing that's weird about the car is the windshield visor sticker.
Yeah.
So on the car, it's black. And it says, Dick Barber Racing on it mm-hmm. right now. And I saw some older pictures of the car, like at Le Mans, and the visor sticker was silver or white, depending on who you ask. Could be, if you ask Sean, he says white. If you ask me, I say silver. But a kind of silver white. And see, you see multiple pictures of the cars like sitting in the pit at Le Mans, and it's got this silver white, I'll call it windshield visor sticker.
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
And so I'm like, huh. So I say to Sean, I go, well, look at these pictures. You know, it's white. I don't know why you would restore a car like this at a high-end place and do it black when you have these pictures of the visor being white saying Dick Barber on there.
What color is it on your big model, like the big expensive
model?
That's a good
question. And I think it is white or silver on that, but we'd have to find a picture of that. But so I'm doing my favorite thing, which is I'm over at the shop. I just go there on a Sunday, and Sean goes there on a Saturday or Sunday, and he works. Mm-hmm. I go there. I turn on the 80s channel on Sonos, and I crack a beer, and I just sit there.
And just rifle through all your shit.
I just literally, yeah, I literally just sit there. I sent Patrick Dempsey a couple of emails. He sent me a couple of emails. Yeah. I take a picture of the turbos, tell Patrick got the turbos back on the car. Then he says something. And then I sit there.
Go through some files, dig through some books. Yeah,
I'll just sit
there. Look at little details on the helmets and the racing suits that spark interest.
I'll just sit there and drink a beer and I just sit there alone. I put the 80s channel on. I crack a beer, and I'll wander over to the bar, and I'll just look at some old pictures of, you know, see some old football trophy or something and just kind of look at it for a while. And then I'll wander back over, and I'll find, like, there's no game plan. I'll just grab, like, random shit, like, oh, Paul Newman Oldsmobile/Camaro. And I'll just open up the book, and it's like, oh, he ran it at Pocono in 1989, blah, blah, blah. And then here's an old picture of whatever. And then, oh, here's an invoice of them rebuilding the six-cylinder engine. Yeah, it's got a Holley 850 on there. like you know, just stupid stuff.
Do you bust out the magnifying glass every now and then?
Every once in a while, I get the loop out and go, what is it? So at some point, you know, I'm on my second or third beer, I wander over and I look at the People magazine, and the People magazine is the tribute to Paul Newman. You know, it's 1925 to 2008, and I open it up, and it's all movies, Joanne. But at some point, there's a car, and I open it up, and it's a picture of the car at Le Mans with a black windshield visor sticker on it. And on each side, a small, like, 4-inch Sachs, I guess, suspension sticker on the windshield visor. And then so I, of course, take a picture of the magazine and I send it to Sean. And I'm like, what is this? Why do we have pictures of it where it's white or silver sitting in the pit? And then I'm looking at this People magazine thing. It's a black and white picture, but it's black.
Yeah. Those are the two colors you could figure out.
Where's it come from? Mm-hmm. And then what are these two sack stickers on there? And now do we switch it over? Like, what do we do? And then how do we account for the fact that there's a bunch of pictures where it's silver or white, and then there's one where it's black?
All from Le Mans?
All from Le Mans, all like at the same event. Did they change it for qualifying? Is this something to do with the camera and just the way color correction or something?
And I don't know. Could they have replaced a windshield?
Well, that's an interesting thought. That's why I was bringing it up to you. Yes,
I don't exactly know back then what parts you're allowed to change. But if they came in through a long pit and a windshield was cracked, are you allowed to
swap it? Yeah, I would think more so as I think we learn from maybe Ford v. Ferrari, or maybe it's a 24-hour war. Maybe it's a 24-hour war. I can't remember if it's in Ford v. Ferrari or not. Maybe it was my movie. But remember, famously, Ford like flew over like five windscreens, like in First Class or some version of that for the GT40. Yeah. It's like they were a big enough company and had enough money and had enough wherewithal to just go, you need windshields, we'll put them on a Pan Am flight, put them in First Class and fly them over.
Yeah, we'll fly them over.
Yeah. So this is interesting.
Which back then, those windshields got a stake. Now you get nuts.
Yeah, not even warm. Yeah. So what could happen is one could go out and do practice and do qualifying and have some nine 917, but it would have been like a 9 56 or something, or something could blow past it on the Mulsanne straight and hit it with a pebble and crack the windshield. And then you could come in after qualifying or whatever and change out the windshield, yeah. which had another shade on it.
A sticker on it, right? And they...
Yes.
It just was what it was.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying, you know, look, just because it's sitting in the pits doesn't mean that's not practice or qualifying or something, which it definitely could be. We can't tell from the picture if it's sort of mid-race or 2 days before the race or qualifying or whatever that is. But, yeah, maybe they changed out the windscreen. Interesting. So then how did it run during the race? So Ben has found a picture of the car, which does not show the windscreen at all, but shows every other part of the car.
Now he's got it.
So we're
looking at black.
We're looking at black
white lettering
with a Sachs sticker. There's a little Sachs. Sachs. There
the
was
corners.
A Sachs car,
yeah.
Right? Beautiful.
Yeah.
935. And then maybe the Sachs is a suspension company. But then, Ben, you're going to find other pictures of that car where the windscreen sticker is silver.
When do we think this picture was taken? Why are all these people around? Is this the end of the race?
This could be qualifying. You know, at the end of the race, there was everyone came over the stands, you know, came over the fence and mobbed the car and everything. So this could easily be, you know, and then there's, you know, before this looks like before the race with a silver or white windscreen
see
on
the,
there.
The top of the windscreen, different.
Yeah, thing. Because now they got the California flag, they got the American flag draped out on the car. Like,
okay, so the footage you have of Newman, and they're like, it was, you know, and they were like trying to tell him what place he was in, and he didn't know what place he was in.
Mm-hmm.
That's arguably at the end of the race. Do we know what the car looked like then?
Well, Ben will find a picture of that car mid-race.
Yeah.
And then you'll go, all right, so this is from the race. And then we'll know. But it still, you know, 2.5 beers in, you're sitting there going...
It's driving you nuts.
Yeah. Now, see, there it is during the race.
During the, with the white sticker.
With the white sticker, and maybe Ben will blow it up, but the white sticker with...
Dick Barber Racing, no Sachs on the corners.
No Sachs on the corners, right?
Right.
So now we're back to the white sticker.
Yeah.
Right?
We're back to the white sticker.
But does kind of make you wonder, whoever refurbished the car must have had a picture where it was black.
Well, when they're redoing
or
the car.
Or they're out of tape.
Right.
White tape.
When they're redoing the car... A lot of times you'll go to the best quality photo you can find, right? And you go, oh, this is the car.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really good photo.
Right.
Now we can see some details.
Right.
But you don't really – nobody sits in their warehouse and drinks three beers and studies these things relentlessly like you do. So I don't even think anybody restoring the cars does it as much as you do. So in the race, we've got – the white sticker, and it's raining. It's got the one windshield.
Yeah, we can find a color. Cool. Ben will find a color picture.
Yeah.
But, and then what happened to that weird Sachs sticker that was on there?
That's a good question. It seems like it's easier to swap the windshield than it does the sticker. So...
Yeah.
You know.
I think you're correct. I think they showed up with a windshield and some... spare windshields.
Right.
And then they went out and, you know, it's a long bit of testing and qualifying and all that. And at some point a pebble kicks up and you crack your windshield.
Right.
And then they swap it out. And the one they swap it out for has a different color shade on top than the one that originally showed up to the track with. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, right? Oh, here we go. Here's another one. That's got the white windshield. This is a color photo. I see the white banner.
Yeah. Now, there's a picture or two where it looks kind of silvery. But
yeah. Although now it looks like he's not running the wheel covers.
Right.
And I don't know why it looks black. I think it's just because they're moving so fast. But
The wheel covers, you would have thought Yes, and the fans.
So
what they did is, I'm guessing it started raining, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it started raining, and they came in for a tire change, and maybe the wets didn't have the fans on them.
Right.
And or, what do you need the fans for? It's pouring outside.
Right.
The speeds.
So the wets wouldn't have to have the fans on them. So
the speeds have been brought down 30%, right? And it's cold.
Yeah.
It's raining, right? So I would bet, see, there he is in Victory Circle with the white.
See, and this is a good photo.
Right. So now we got
to
go back.
You got to go to the white.
Got to go back to the white.
Your car is the black one?
Yeah. So I'm just saying, if you're rebuilding the car, take the fucking color picture from the winner's circle.
The truth is, if you're restoring the car, how do you not have this photo up there going, oh, this is the victory lane. Look at this thing. There's tons of people. Everyone's so happy.
Yeah.
And they got a white banner.
So it would make sense that they would never put the wheel fan, and who the hell knows, but we'll find out. They probably wouldn't put the wheel fans on the wets.
That makes sense to me.
So they probably showed up with X amount of slicks with wheel fans, and then X amount of wets with no wheel fans.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the conceit is, you've slowed the speeds down and it's raining.
Yeah.
What do we need to cool the brake calipers for? They're sopping wet.
Yeah.
Right? So that's probably why there's pictures of the car with the wheel fans on, and then from the race where they're just running the mags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a good picture.
See, now Ben's just proving your point again and again and again. He's finding all these great photos with the white banner.
Yes.
Yeah, that's another great photo.
Yeah. All right. That's all we need, Ben. Yeah. Thank you very much.
But the
much.
Mirror's up high, too.
Yeah, that's...
See the mirror?
I've always thought about moving
it. Wait, there's one high and one low.
Yeah, the passenger side is down low, the rear mirror, and then it's about mid two-thirds of the way up on the A pillar, which has always bugged me, but I've left it alone. It was said to me by Dick Barber. Do not think I didn't ask about this mirror placement.
Yeah.
It was said to me, I think by Dick Barber, that Paul, going down the Mulsanne Straight at night, did not like the headlights of the fast guys that were behind him in his face.
Okay.
And somehow moving the mirror up the pillar prevented those headlights who were overtaking you, or maybe just up your ass, especially some of the bigger, faster cars.
Mm-hmm.
You could imagine going down, you know, 4 a.m. down Mulsanne Straight when it's raining and just seeing this being hit with this high beam in your face, right?
Yeah.
So for some reason, they moved the rearview mirror up the pillar, and somehow that did something.
I guess it worked, yeah.
I guess, but then you kind of go, why didn't everyone do that?
I don't know. Paul Newman's smarter than everyone else.
All right. Let me tell you about JB Weld, world's strongest bond. So I hope you're smarter than everyone else and you avail yourself of some JB Weld. Pros trust it. DIYers trust it. They all trust JB Weld. Use their epoxies, super glues, putty sticks, and wraps for projects big and small on practically any surface. Metal, wood, plastic, glass, ceramics, whatever you got to put together. Hit it with the JB Weld. Keep it in your kitchen drawer, toolbox, craft supplies, and, of course, your garage as well. They're also the proud owner of Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. If you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner, they got you covered. Available where? At jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, and more. You can go to Michael's as well. And, of course, JB Weld is proudly made in the USA. So don't throw it away. Fix it with JB Weld. What else is going on in the car world?
You know, you're talking about Le Mans, and I read recently that Michael Fassbender, actor, is going to be racing at Le Mans. He's there with Porsche, I think the Proton team with Porsche. And then I was like, you know, I heard he was a car guy. I heard he did some racing. I wasn't quite sure how much he was into it. When I think I think when I first heard about him racing, he was doing the Ferrari Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out, I don't know why I didn't know this. I'm not sure why a lot of people didn't know this, but there is a YouTube series called Road to Le Mans with Michael Fassbender, and it's him doing all of these events over the course of a couple of years, training and working his way up to Le Mans.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. He did the Porsche Super Sports Cup in Germany. He ran a GT3 Cup car. He did the Porsche Mobile 1 Super Cup, Porsche Carrera Cup. A number of different events. It looks like you can check out this whole series.
Well, Le Mans coming up, right?
Yeah, it's this month. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because then Goodwood is at the end of the month. So, it's coming up. But I guess now we can kind of maybe check it out and dig into this series.
Yeah, I'd love to see this. Maybe Ben can find the opening of it or something like that.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see it.
Check out Michael Fassbender Road to Le Mans trailer on YouTube. See if you can find that.
There are three seasons on YouTube. How come we were not made aware of this?
I just don't know. Like, the promotion wasn't strong enough, or it just felt like a little gimmicky, like, oh, you know, it's Idris Elba doing a show with Ken Block, you know, and it's fun, but, you know, what is it really? But it turned out, no, he was serious about it.
Wow. Man, I'm really going to love watching this.
Yeah, let's see if we can get the...
We'll see if we can run the trailer.
I've just always felt drawn to going fast into a corner and fast out, and just naturally felt connected to it. And now I want to go to the ultimate place.
It's like a race car driver.
Either way, then, go for it.
I think it's the history of the place. I think it's the drivers that crashed there, or competed there, and won there. To be a part of that would be, you know, unbelievable. And this is the beginning of it.
Wow.
Yeah, that looks
pretty
good.
Gotta watch that.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah, who knew?
I didn't know.
I didn't know either. It's
but
like
I'm glad. I'm glad you found out.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have to check that out. We'll have to come back and sort of review that. Little changing gears here. I just thought this was kind of funny. There's been some interviews with Farley recently talking about just how Ford is changing the model of things and stuff. But one of the things that came up was, you know, the F-150 Lightning coming out, you know, the big thing is, you know, you charge it, but then it can charge other stuff. And I don't know if this is just a dig or they're just looking for some PR, but when you buy a Lightning, it comes with a little Tesla adapter. So if you wanted to charge a Tesla off of your F-150, you can. And the Tesla, so you're like, oh, for any stranded Teslas out there, don't worry. You can bring your F-150 out there, and the little $50 plug adapter comes with the truck. You could plug in your Tesla. You could plug in extra other electric cars as well.
That's nice.
And I'm sure like no one's going to use it other than YouTubers just to show that it works. But
I see a lot more of those electric Mustangs out on the road.
Yeah, they're
now,
very popular.
Which are SUVs, essentially, not Mustangs, mm-hmm. but they're under the Mustang banner. Those things look nice. I don't know what their price point is. I don't know what they start at. High 40s,
yeah,
low 50s.
Yeah, I think 40-ish, and then can go up when you get the GT Performance
package.
It's a nice-looking
ride, and yeah. You see a lot of them. You know, we're in SoCal, so you see more of them than you would in, you know, Iowa, but... Yeah, it's kind of cool, and in a world of, you know, $7 gallon gas and, you know, rolling blackouts and stuff like that, having some stored power is a is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real thing, especially especially out here. And look, a world where you know, the dad was driving the Lightning and the mom had the Mustang, electric Mustang. You could hop a charge off of dad's Lightning.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Listen, if you're out in the Mach-E all day, and then you guys go meet up at you know at a basketball game or an event or something, and you know, you roll up in the fresh Lightning. Yeah, while you're there for 2 hours, why not give a little extra juice, add a couple miles to the Mach-E while you're, or their Tesla or the whatever.
Now, would they say? Would Ford, I mean, it's kind of a fun little dig at Tesla, but would they go, no, that's just an adapter for the home charging station?
No, it's to plug in the car into the truck. Yeah.
It's specifically for that.
I mean,
what I'm saying is there's no plausible deniability where they could say, well, yeah, wink, wink, that's what we're doing. But we brand it as an adapter for the home charger.
They're not hiding it. They straight up just said, you know, we include multiple adapters with the Lightning and the Tesla. And like, in case there's a stranded Tesla and you want to help a brother out.
Do they have any specs on how, like,
well,
how fast could you give that Tesla 30 miles?
Yeah, so that's the thing. I don't know about how charging the Tesla, because the other thing is people going, well, why don't I just plug in my Lightning into my Lightning, right? And they're like, well, because I think it takes more energy to charge the Lightning than it would be, you know, like if
plug
you just
plug your Lightning into your Lightning.
Yeah, just take the plug from the bed of the truck and move it around to the front into the Lightning and the fender of the Lightning. And you know, people are obviously joking, going, right, I'll never have to charge it again. It's an infinite loop. I just keep going around in circles. What if I could just drive around that way?
Right.
You know, but it's obviously not going to work that way. And the rate of charge is probably nowhere near how much power it uses to charge it. Right. So you can't, what's not going to happen is you're not going to have 300 miles on your Lightning. Give a Tesla 10 miles and you've got 290 on the Lightning, right? It's never going to equate that way. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you would just plug your Lightning into itself all the time.
Yeah.
It's probably going to, you know, take, you know, half the battery to give the Tesla 10 miles. I don't know what the number is going to be.
I don't know, Ben, if you can find that. I don't know. I don't know if it exists.
People are just going to start doing testing. They're going to figure it out. All the YouTubers and you know, and magazines, and they're all just going to be like, let's see what happens. How long does it take to charge a Tesla or a Mach-E or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And those cars, we're finding, of course, is they are different efficiency levels. It does take more power to charge one of those cars.
Mm-hmm.
The Rivian, for example, does take a lot more juice, you know, off the grid to charge, mm-hmm. you know, than it does. But I thought that was kind of a
– that's kind of cool.
It's kind of a fun little thing. Look, they're getting a lot of buzz about it and everyone's talking about it, and that was worth – the price of a bunch of adapters that no one's going to use. It was a fun little idea. And then you get the peace of mind going, well, I do have it if I want it.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Ben's not seeing any numbers, but probably. I'm just curious, like, if a Tesla was literally stalled and it was 9 miles from its home charger.
Yeah.
Would it take a half hour?
Well, I mean, you can find out, Ben.
20 miles of range for 1 hour of testing. Sorry. So I guess if you charged it for an hour. So I guess my 9 miles and half hour was about right.
Probably about right, yeah. I mean, if you've got the Lightning and you've got the 240 plug, and then I don't remember what the amperage is on it, if it's a 40 amp or something like that, and then you can just find out how long does it take to charge a Tesla on a 240, 40 amp, and, you know, it's probably similar to that.
You know? 20 miles of range in a half hour. So that's Lightning to Tesla, Ben, or maybe that's not. Either way, it's funny, it's cool, and I think it, you know, has some practical application, probably not a lot.
Yeah. I mean, this is more of a, you know,
it's a PR thing.
It's a PR thing than anything else. But the other thing I wanted to quickly bring up was the model that we've been talking about of purchasing cars is going to change over time. We've mentioned it a few times, especially during the pandemic, and cars like Tesla and Lucid and Rivian, and all of them are just order. You just order it and you get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Ford is saying now. Jim Farley is saying his EVs, like his Mach-E and his Lightning, they're going to go to that model. They're just going to be like, you order it, you get it. But also, you don't go to the dealer and haggle, and you don't get a markup either. Like, it's right. just the price.
Right.
Eventually, the other cars might follow this model. And then he was saying, well, the dealers will effectively become service, customer service centers. That's where you take delivery of your vehicle. Maybe that's where you shop and feel the different materials, maybe test drive a vehicle. But then ultimately, you just order it from the manufacturer and you get it serviced or delivered to you at the dealer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but going to that sort of one rate, one price, no more haggling, no more feeling at the dealer. Like, yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's... That was Saturn's model 28 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right,
just like, just go. Saturn was like the first, their model, their commercial was just, that's what it is.
Yeah.
All right. You can go to adamcarolla.com. Live shows coming up all over, coming up in Denver, I think the 23rd, 24th. Comedy Works South, if memory serves. But you can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live stuff, books coming up, blah, blah, blah. What do you got, man?
You know, I was also driving the Nissan Pathfinder, so I talked about that on the show with Goldberg. I'll post some photos up on my social media. You guys can check that out.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course. Who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to GEICO becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.